Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnes, and your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you a happy Wednesday on this 27th day of December 2017. I'm delighted to have returning to the program someone who has been an excellent guest in the past, Joseph Jackowitz. He is founder of First Love Publications and one of two pastors at the Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California. Today we are going to be addressing the sufficiency of Scripture, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Joe Jackowitz.
Great to be with you, Chris, and we're looking forward to wrestling with this burning issue that we're talking about today.
And before we go into the topic at hand, once again, for those of our listeners who have not heard you before on this program, who may be unaware of you, because we have new listeners, it seems, joining us every day on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, tell us about, first of all, Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California, where you serve as pastor.
Christ Bible Church is a Reformed Baptist church founded in 1990 by four families in the East Bay area of San Francisco. And we've been here since for 28 years next February, this coming February. And I've been the pastor since the beginning. We have two pastors now, have had for many years. But we're a smaller congregation, and we reach out with the gospel in various ministries in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, street preaching, street evangelism, Bible studies, discipleship ministries. We also have, under the auspices and government of our church, three other ministries. First is First Love Publications. It's a publications ministry where we print and distribute books on many different topics and categories: doctrinal, devotional, evangelistic, and apologetics and pastoral. And we distribute them worldwide. We have a website. Also, First Love Missions. We have 11 missionaries that go on short-term mission trips in different countries where we hold seminars and Bible conferences, and we distribute literature free of charge. And of course, teaching and the seminars are free, mainly for pastors. And then First Love Media, where we have radio ministry in various countries and other radio ministries in the works right now, which I really can't get into because it's in a preparation stage. And so those are the main ministries of Christ Bible Church. So we have a local and an international dimension to our ministry.
And God willing, this January, from the 17th through the 20th, Pastor Joe and the folks at First Love Publications will be joining me with their own exhibitors booth at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm very excited about that. I'm once again, this is my second time manning an exhibitors booth at the G3 conference. And I just was blown away the last time I was manning an exhibitor's booth, because not only did I get to meet a lot of listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience whom I had never met before face-to-face, some of whom I was aware of through their correspondence by email and their questions that they submitted by email to my guests. But also I met a large number of people who listened to the program, but I had never heard from at all in any way, from all over the world, different parts of the world, including England and other areas. And it was just such a blessing, and also to meet for the first time face-to-face men that I have already interviewed by phone. That was the first time I had ever met face-to-face Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, and had the privilege of interviewing him for the first time face-to-face, even though I have been interviewing him on the radio since 2005. And we have been corresponding very often all of these years, but I had never had the privilege to meet him. So if anybody wants to register for that conference, it's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I'll be repeating this later, but I just want to let you know that James White will begin the English portion of the event on Wednesday night, January 17th. He's debating a Muslim. That's Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Then on the 18th, the actual conference, the actual English-speaking conference, begins on the 18th, and that lasts through the 20th, and the speakers include Stephen Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Matheny, and Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, who's going to be my guest this Friday, Martha Peace, Justin Peters, and Stephen Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible Church, Reformation Bible College, the college started by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. So go to g3conference.com if you want to register for either a personal attendance registration, or if you want to register for your own exhibitor's booth, like Joe Jackowitz and myself will be manning. G3conference.com. Make sure you tell them that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And this topic, the sufficiency of Scripture, is really one of the key pillars of the Reformation. It obviously hinges on a sola scriptura, which means that Scripture alone is our sole inerrant, infallible rule of faith for the church. And the two major areas of disagreement with Rome during the Reformation that the Reformers had were on sola scriptura and sola fide. The others that follow from that, sola gratia and solus Christus and soli Deo gloria, are natural products of these two. And the Catholic Church may try to confuse the issues with a smoke screen by giving some kind of lip service to the others that I mentioned, but the sufficiency of Scripture and sola fide are not two of them. They are openly in opposition and do not mince their words in their opposition to the sufficiency of Scripture and also sola fide, that we are justified by faith alone. If you could, Joe, tell us why it was that you had a burning desire to address this specific issue today.
Well, like you said, it's at the very core and heart of Christianity itself. We need an infallible, trustworthy, reliable guide that we base our beliefs and our practices as Christians on. If there is not an objective standard that is unviable, that is infallible, then anything goes. Anyone that anyone says, any dream or vision or feeling or experience that anyone has can be interpreted or misinterpreted as being from God. And so we can all become our own source of quote-unquote truth if we do not have an objective, infallible standard. And I think the most important text in the Bible that undergirds our belief in the doctrine of the inspiration and infallibility of the Scriptures, from which come the sufficiency of Scripture, is 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, where we read, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, Chris, verse 17, this is 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 that I just quoted, but verse 17 is perhaps the best-known passage for teaching the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture, because it tells us that the Scriptures are sufficient to make us perfect, to completely equip us, not for most good works, but for all of them. A couple of verses before, in verse 15, we read that the Scriptures are the grounds of learning of salvation. The Scriptures, the Bible, is what we need to learn about salvation, and they are sufficient for teaching us how to go to heaven, how to have our sins forgiven, and how to know that we are saved. We don't need to look at other sources to learn how to be saved. The Scriptures are able to make sinners wise unto salvation, and nothing else is needed. Now, if we put verses 15 and 17 together, we see that the Bible is completely sufficient to put us on the path to salvation and to carry us through the Christian life after that unto the very end, until we enter heaven. So the Scriptures alone, and this is the case, this is the point, are sufficient to teach God's truth, to correct our course, to rebuke us when we sin, to guide us in everything. We don't need any other guide. We need no other authority. The Scriptures are the answer, and they don't need a supplement. There's no Book of Mormon. There's no other book to add. There's no Talmud. There's no church tradition. Anything else only has merit in helping us understand the meaning of Scripture. Nothing else, rather, has any merit in how to help us effectively apply what it teaches. Now, there are a lot of problems today which challenge the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. How do we apply the sufficiency of Scriptures in our daily life when we're confronted by many cults and false teachings? Well, the first thing, and this is sad, Chris, because I'm sure you're aware that there are many weak, ignorant, professing Christians in churches who are completely without the equipment and tools in defending this very important doctrine of the sufficiency of the Scriptures. And so they and all of us need to understand, first of all, and identify the counterfeit. There are many counterfeit doctrines. There are many teachings out there which, on the surface, like you suggested, Roman Catholicism, which professes to have a strong belief on Scripture as a guide into truth. But the sufficiency of the Scriptures is the only antidote to identifying the very subtle forms of teaching and teachings which undermine this very important doctrine. And this doctrine is the sufficiency, that is the antidote to, for example, the traditionalism of many churches. It's the answer to the dangerous mysticism of modern pop Christianity. It's the answer to the pseudo-authority of psychology that ignores God, the celebrity preacher worship of much of evangelicalism, and the authoritarian minister syndrome that infects many independent churches, Baptist churches and other churches. So what are these counterfeits? Well, first of all, we have a lot of man-exalting tradition out there. And this is where tradition is exalted to a place of authority. And as you mentioned, Roman Catholicism is probably most renowned in this area.
And in fact, the thing that's bizarre about that is that the Roman Catholic Church not only agrees with us, that the scriptures are inerrant, but they agree with us that only scripture is God-breathed. And the thing that's very bizarre about that is that even though they recognize that only scripture is God-breathed, they still believe that the traditions of their church are on the same par, even though they even act as if they are above the scriptures, very often, if not most often. But it makes no sense that they would recognize that scripture is God-breathed, and scripture alone is God-breathed, and the traditions of the church are handed down by mortal men, they still hold them on an equal par. And I know that they will say that we are in unsafe territory because we don't have an infallible magisterium interpreting the scripture. But the reason why that is a farce is because they don't have an infallible interpreter for their alleged infallible interpreter. There are many disagreements by different wings of the Roman Catholic Church, because it's not monolithic, as they claim. There are many disagreements on what the Pope is saying in his encyclicals, even in his ex cathedra pronouncements over the centuries. So this big boon they think they have, this area of superiority that they believe they have, is just a farce. And I think that many conservative and traditionalist Roman Catholics know that this would be a very difficult thing for them to defend with the coming of Pope Francis, their most liberal pope in history. But I'm sorry, I digress there.
That's okay, and that's important what you just said. And it's what the problem is it's very, very confusing for so many evangelical Christians today, because there's such a weak test of truth today. So few professing Christians understand the doctrine of the sufficiency of scriptures, the infallibility, the inspiration, the inerrancy of scripture. And so anyone who comes along and just says glibly, oh, I believe that the Bible's the only authority, like some well-meaning Catholic person, most evangelicals will just accept it outright and not understand that if you look at Rome's minutiae in their teaching about their authorities, like tradition and the versus the Pope versus the Scripture, and how these three authorities interrelate to one another, they will not be able to identify the subtle lie that Rome puts forth, that the Scriptures are above the Pope and tradition in the authority for the believer. So therefore, this is a real issue for today, especially since the Church has become more and more apostate doctrinally, and it is no longer a priority in the worship services and in the teaching ministries of most evangelical churches to ground the members of the church in sound doctrine, especially all of the fundamental and elementary doctrines of the Christian faith, of which sola scriptura, or the sufficiency of the scriptures alone to guide us as the only rule of faith and practice in the Christian life, is a very critical teaching. Because if we cannot agree on the source of our authority, Chris, everything else from there in the discussion is a moot point. And so you look today at so many things concerning how do we apply this doctrine in the daily life, and this idea of tradition. Now, tradition has some value, but it often contains the wisdom of the world. So when we look at tradition as it relates to the church and our worship in the church and our study of scripture, we have to sniff out worldly wisdom and unscriptural implications and cast them out, spit out the bones. But if the scriptures are sufficient, human tradition is never our authority, and traditions can always be changed. So these traditions only have value as long as they serve scriptural purposes. There are biblical traditions. For example, the church, by way of tradition, not command, began to worship on the first day of the week after our Lord rose from the dead, And so many churches worship on different days. We have Bible studies. We have Wednesday night service. Well, what makes Sunday the main day of worship? Well, it was out of tradition in honor of the resurrection. So as long as tradition does not violate Scripture nor contradict it, nor usurp the authority of the Bible, then generally speaking, it's okay. But we, of course, must always test our traditions to the Scripture. But Roman Catholicism claims to accept the Bible's authority, as you so aptly said, but actually their teaching specifically rejects scriptural sufficiency. They exalt the tradition of the church, or as you said, the authority of the Pope, who they teach speaks ex cathedra, to be equal with the authority of the scriptures. And Catholicism is man exalting traditionalism at its heart. The two doctrines you mentioned, the doctrine of just faith alone and scripture alone, are rejected, really, when you look at the finer points of their teaching. Even many mainline Protestant churches reject scriptural authority, Chris, and have nothing to offer but tradition, especially the high church national or worldwide denominations. Many of them have abandoned the sufficiency of the scriptures a long time ago, teaching a weak and changeable moralism in which is determined by tradition or society or the opinion of the teacher.
And it's interesting that the Catholic Church will acknowledge that the letter to Timothy that the Apostle Paul wrote, which is included in the canon, that they agree with, that part of the canon, because obviously the Catholics disagree with our Old Testament canon, but the 2 Timothy 3:16 verses 17 that you were reading before, all scripture is inspired by God, and some translations I have heard from those who know the New Testament Greek, Koine Greek, will say that actually means God-breathed, all scripture is God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And if the Catholics were consistent and they were to claim this as God's truth, breathed directly out from God through Paul, if they were consistent in their belief that that is true, how could they possibly believe that praying to Mary is a good work, that praying to images, statues, and paintings and icons of Mary and the saints, how could they believe that those are good works? How could they believe that worshiping the elements of the Mass is a good work? And there are so many things that the Roman Catholic Church teaches and has even dogmatized that are nowhere to be found in Scripture, and yet they would have us believe that they are a good work or good works, even though they're not in that God-breathed Scripture that Paul speaks of.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever come to you, a professing Christian, and you got into a conversation with them and they began to say, well, God told me this and God told me that?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, those are typically, not exclusively, but they are typically charismatic or Pentecostal Christians that say that. But I have experienced even just run-of-the-mill evangelicals who don't necessarily believe in the continuation of sign gifts saying things like that.
Right. Well, this is the second thing that is dangerous today, this hazardous mysticism, where because we're living in a day where a God told me generation of Christianity is increasingly the prevalent way of telling someone else how you are led and what decisions you make and choices in your life, where if people feel something, they suggest it must have been from God. We're told in the Bible to test the spirits, but too often people don't even know how to test their own feelings, even many Christians. They assume that what they feel and what they think is spiritual in nature, and that the only spirit that would try to influence them is God. Well, this is extremely dangerous because our own hearts can't be trusted. As Jeremiah 17:9 says, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And because also there are spirits other than God that would influence us to do evil or to think evil or to believe evil if they can. So if you're looking for the voice of God in your experiences and feelings, Satan will do his best to provide a counterfeit. So how will you really know what is true and what is false? Well, the Bible says and the Bible teaches that the scriptures are sufficient. We shouldn't be looking for extra revelations from God around every corner and under every tree, or expecting to hear the voice of God in every feeling and looking for that in every personal experience. I would say a good seven out of eight professing Christians I talk with outside of my church talk like this. They've incorporated this terminology into their conversational language. God told me this, and I felt the leading, and I felt this, and everything seems to be based more and more on mystical experiences and feelings rather than the Word of God.
In fact, don't you think that, and I'm fairly certain you've experienced this, is that sometimes it comes under the guise of false humility. And what I mean by that, and I'm not even necessarily saying that the person is conscious of the fact that they are lying, but you will hear things such as, I've even heard this from Christian authors. Wow, this is an interesting book you wrote here. Well, I don't take any of the credit. This is all from God. This is, really? Then why don't we staple it next to Revelation, if that's the way you feel about it? And, you know, it could be a number of things. It could be a song that somebody wrote. I don't deserve any of the thanks. This all came from God. They have this humble approach to answering that question. And what they are really doing is exalting what they have done to a status of God breathed.
Yes, they do. And we need to be very careful about that when we describe where our inspiration comes from, that we don't get too close to connecting it with divine inspiration on the par of the scriptures. But my point is that if the scriptures really do give us everything to make us perfect, why are we looking for something more? This God told me mysticism has caused a lot of instability, a lot of confusion, and a lot of weak doctrinal foundations on the part of many believers. Many Christians bounce from one God told me experience to the next, without ever asking if it's really God that's speaking to them. And the Bible is clear that we must test the spirits whether they be God, from God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. The third point that I would bring up is the false notion of the place of psychology in directing our lives. Our view of how people think and act shouldn't be influenced by psychological philosophies that know nothing of God and biblical truth. Because when we reject the Bible's authority, Chris, in describing the workings and problems of the human heart, like pride and selfishness, which they end up becoming, instead of sin, a lack of self-esteem. This idea, this biblical notion of slavery to sin, then becomes an addiction or an illness. That's what happens when we use psychology to direct our lives rather than the scriptures. And therefore, sin becomes a mere product of our bad environment and not an internal problem of the human heart. And so these things minimize our sin problem, the idea of using psychology to trace out the source of our bad behavior. And it ultimately portrays us as victims rather than responsible people who need a solution to sin. Psychology's approach to the human condition is not found in Scripture, and when we adopt the psychological method of solving problems, we deny the truth that the Bible is sufficient to describe our problems, and we limit our ability to understand and apply its solutions. If we use the man-invented psychology to diagnose our problems, we'll inevitably end up with man-centered answers to those problems, and man has never yet devised the solution that will get man right with God or give true freedom from sin.
And we have to go to a break right now, so sure. Pick up where you left off there on that point of psychology. And if anybody wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Joe Jacobowitz and the sufficiency of Scripture right after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Those phone lines are usually manned between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 800-656-0231. And they have a new offer. If you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise from cvbbs.com, they have a new book that they are giving you for free, Dr. Joel Beakey's book, Knowing and Growing in Assurance of Faith. It's a $15 retail value that you will get absolutely free of charge by purchasing $50 or more worth of merchandise from cvbbs.com. Please, please, please always remember to mention Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you're placing any order. If you're calling them at their toll-free number, obviously you could tell them that verbally. But if you are ordering by the internet, cvbbs.com, the only way that you could tell them that is by clicking on the instructions area and writing that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please do that. It's very important for you. If you want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, you have to let our advertisers know that you are indeed patronizing them, because they will have no idea that they are getting patronized from my listeners unless you tell them. So please tell them that, and that will help us remain on the air in a big way. And we are now back with our guest, Joe Jackowitz. I think I accidentally called you Jakowitz, and you may still hear me call you Jakowitz from time to time by mistake. It's Jackowitz, correct?
Correct.
All right. Sorry about that, brother.
That's okay.
And we are discussing the sufficiency of Scripture. We already have an anonymous listener from New York State who asks, in your condemning of psychology, are you ruling it out altogether? Is there any proper use of it for the born-again Christian, in your opinion, that would not violate the sufficiency of Scripture?
No, I was going to address that. There is a place for medical elements to be used in counseling, and that it could be a certain medication used for psychological illnesses. There are chemical imbalances that people have that are rooted in a pure medical, physiological, or mental problem. And there is a place for medicine, and in a rare, rare situation, the effects of biological medical problems upon the mind for an opinion of a psychiatrist or psychologist. But it is indeed a rare instance when that occurs.
And we'll pick up where you left off before the break on psychology.
Yeah, well, I pretty much finished that point on some of the switches we see today from our focus and belief in the Scriptures alone as being sufficient to guide the believer and direct the believer. We looked at tradition and mysticism and pretty much finish the idea of psychology. But then the fourth one I wanted to touch on is the celebrity preacher worship. And there are many pastors who are wonderfully gifted by God to understand the Bible, to explain the Bible, to teach the Word. But unfortunately, too often Christians will exalt these men to the point where the teacher himself becomes the authority. And when we challenge these people on their beliefs that this man is almost infallible. I can name a few teachers that I think reached this status with some of my friends through the years. But when we challenge them, there is a tendency for them to say, well, preacher X says this and teacher Y agrees with him. And you're almost left with the impression that you know, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. These luminaries, theologians, Calvin, Luther, or whoever, even a contemporary pastor or theologian, says such and such a thing. Why even bother search the scriptures or compare their teachings to the scriptures? But preacher X is not our authority, nor is teacher Y. The scriptures are sufficient, and we don't need another guide. The Bible says that we are to test all things by the inscripturated word. Even the Apostle Paul was cross-checked by the Bereans, who searched the scriptures to see whether the things that Paul spoke were so. Therefore, our preachers, that we indeed hold them in high esteem, and we are told in the Bible to respect them and to love them for their work's sake and so forth. But and teachers can help us understand the Bible. That's why we're given teachers, and that's why pastors and teachers are given gifts of teaching and great grace to understand the Bible and to explain it and to apply it through expository preaching and through the topical teachings of the Word of God unto great edification of the believers and the members of the church. But we need to keep in mind that men are fallible and should always be tested by the Scriptures to see whether their teachings are true. We should not give the authority of the Bible to human teachers or speak in a way that implies they have the authority. The teachings of men are always open and should always be open to examination and criticism. No matter how effective their ministry may be, no matter how big the numbers in their churches are, no one is perfect. And if we really believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, we would never and should never speak as if they are.
You know, that goes back to the Roman Catholic issue. The Roman Catholic Church will often claim that sola scriptura, or the sufficiency of Scripture, is our Achilles heel, because they will say, you say that the Scriptures are sufficient, and the Scriptures themselves don't even say that, and they don't even say that they are the sole infallible authority of the Church. Well, the fact that they are identified as God-breathed should be sufficient to come to that conclusion, because it reminded me of an analogy. Let's say you are camping in the woods with a friend. Your friend gets bit by a rattlesnake. And you say, don't worry, I have this manual that was written by a physician and also an expert on snakes on what to do in this circumstance. And then one of your other buddies with you says, don't worry about it. I've got an old family remedy passed down from my grandmother's grandmother all throughout our family lineage. I know how to take care of this snake bite. Well, you would probably be much more secure in using the writings of a researcher of snakes who is a physician, an expert in this area. Now, you multiply that millions of times over when you have God-breathed truth. Why does there even need to be an explanation that any tradition outside that cannot possibly be on any level even close to the authority of Scripture? Does what I said make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely correct. And the Bible itself, however good some of these external helps are and aids in supporting the Bible or lending more trust in the Bible, no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, grandma's recipe on a scriptural level that you're making that metaphor related to, or anything else, the Scriptures are infinitely superior in directing our lives and giving us clarity concerning who God is, the knowledge of God, and what God's will is for our lives. Why would we want any other source of direction for our lives? Actually, the Bible says that the Scriptures are self-authenticating and self-attesting. They bear witness to themselves and don't need any outside source to confirm them as the Word of God, because first of all, of their non-contradictory nature. The Bible has no contradictions in it. Secondly, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures to the Bible being the Word of God, God breathed from the Lord himself. In many places in the New Testament, the Lord makes reference to the law and the prophets and Moses, identifying it as the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus is the second witness that the Scriptures are self-interpreting and attesting. Thirdly, the witness of the Holy Spirit of the truth in people's minds and their consciences, the way in which he has inspired the writers of Scripture, and how the unity of Scripture through the Holy Spirit inspiring these writers, you know, confirm the entirety of Scriptures. And the fourth reason concerning the authority of the Bible is the power to change lives. And the way in which the Holy Spirit leads all true believers to agree with the essential doctrines of the faith. I'm not talking about all the doctrines that believers profess to embrace and believe, but I'm talking about the essential doctrines of the faith, such as the deity of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the Trinity, and so forth. Every true believer must believe in those fundamental essential doctrines of the Christian faith. So these bear witness to the fact that the Bible doesn't need any outside sources to affirm its reliability and its veracity.
We do have a listener, and I know that my instincts are to pronounce this Versailles, Kentucky, as it would be pronounced in France, but in, I think in Kentucky they call this Versailles, don't they? We have Ben in Versailles, Kentucky, and he says, what is the best approach to share the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture in missions when dealing with someone unfamiliar with the gospel?
Well, that's the first of all, you need to start there. You need to start with the Scriptures. You cannot really share the gospel and evangelize and make progress with someone in bringing the good news of salvation to them without first agreeing that the Bible is the Word of God. And so to promote the sufficiency of Scripture, we ourselves, first of all, need to be people of the Bible. We need to understand the Bible ourselves, very at least in the basic doctrines of the Christian faith, the basic Christian doctrine. So do our reading habits and personal decisions show that we believe Scripture is enough? We need to look at our own spiritual life and answer truthfully and make changes accordingly, because we need to be firmly rooted in a belief that the Scriptures alone are the Word of God, because we're going to be challenged by so-called sea lawyers and experts from other religions who will try to bring wedges into our convictions on this very, very important doctrine. So we ourselves need to understand the Scripture and be convicted about it, and we need to be a model and a good example of what the Bible teaches. And we need to go beyond more than just bringing in the milk of the Word. We need to be versed in many portions of the meat of the Word. We need to stretch our appetite in studying and meditating upon the Scriptures to be able to take the deep things, the weightier matters of the law, very, very smoothly and easily into our minds and hearts. So we need a regular appetite on the meat and the milk of the Word of God. And so I hope that addresses that question.
Thank you, Ben. Keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpened Zion Radio in Versailles, Kentucky, and beyond. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, once again, they have called, or some who are apologists among them, have called Sola Scriptura a blueprint for anarchy, because they believe that without an infallible interpreter of the Scriptures, we will be in chaos. And apparently, in contrast, they are allegedly supposed to be some kind of united monolith, which is ridiculous. I mean, their alleged infallible interpreter, the papacy and the magisterium, have not preserved some kind of biblically sound, unanimously agreed monolithic church. There are all kinds of Roman Catholics that have not been disciplined or excommunicated who are teaching in seminaries and writing books. There are ultra-left-wing Catholics who are communists and Marxists and who have very unbiblical acceptance of homosexuality and all kinds of things. And then you have cultic Roman Catholics on the other end of the spectrum, Seda Vacantists and Lefebvreites and all kinds of ultra-right-wing traditionalist Catholics. So this is in no way has protected them from schism and from division and all that. But the fact of the matter is that the other churches that would profess to be Christian as well, such as cults, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and others, they do not adhere to sola scriptura. And in fact, I can still vividly remember Marcus Grodi, who is the host of the Journey Home radio program, or television program, I should say, a Catholic television program. It may also be on radio as well. And he said that sola scriptura has led to the forming of cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. That's absolutely absurd, because the Jehovah's Witnesses do not permit people to be Berean and just study the scriptures and follow their convictions of what the scriptures say. You have to go by the Watchtower Tract Society, I believe it's called, their headquarters for the Kingdom Hall. You have to go by their interpretations of the Bible. And the Mormons don't even hold to the one book of the scriptures. They, of course, which is 66 books, but they do not contain all of their inspired writings in the scriptures. They have the Pearl of Great Price. They have the Doctrine and Covenants. They have outside sources of what they would believe are God-breathed authority outside of the scriptures. So those two examples to give them as examples of what can arise from sola scriptura is pure nonsense. Am I right?
Yes, it is. I don't know where some of these cults and these false religions come up with the fact that they try to validate their teachings by saying that the scriptures are not sufficient. So I think it's amazing, on another note, Chris, that while the cults and the false gospels and the world's religions are increasing their attack on the scriptures as the only standard of truth, the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian faith, believers seem to be becoming more ignorant and weaker in their understanding about the vital place of the scriptures as the very foundation, as the objective source of truth and understanding God in the Christian faith. So the Bible, the veracity and the infallibility and the sufficiency of the scripture is not only under increasing attack, but it's fighting right now. We're fighting a losing battle, and we need Christians more than ever before, true believers, to become educated, to take the time to make a commitment to a course of learning what the Bible is, learning the scripture, learning the various doctrines of the Bible, defending the sufficiency of scripture. We need to encourage people to read and study the Bible. People in our churches may not naturally think to spend time reading the Bible at home. Pastors are not encouraging their members more and more to study the Bible. As the church growth movement and the purpose-driven church model and paradigm seems to be increasing and spreading throughout the world, less and less of the importance of studying the Bible is emphasized from the scripture. So we need to get out there as believers and encourage others to study the scripture, to go deep in our meditation and study on the Bible. Teaching newer believers in these weaker churches of the vital, critical importance of studying the Bible, memorizing the basic doctrines of the Christian faith, strengthening their understanding of the sufficiency of the Scriptures, memorizing Scriptures and Scripture references about the infallibility and inspiration of the Scriptures, especially those who are not accustomed to being challenged and rebuked and exhorted on the importance of studying the Bible. People who are not accustomed to reading and meditating on the Scripture, they're either biblically illiterate or semi-illiterate, and we need to get out there, and we need to be gently bold, but we need to gently but firmly encourage people to follow the lead of God's Word in spreading the Word of God rather than rely on uncertain extra-biblical sources of knowledge and reading Christian novels and other sources of supposed truth and things that would motivate and inspire us to be better Christians. It is the Scripture alone that will change us to be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ and to help us grow. We need to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow by it.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. It's a longer break than normal because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires a 12-minute break. So please be patient with us, and please take this opportunity to write in your questions. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens. to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to thank all of you who have been responding to these ads to Solid Ground Christian Books and helping them dig out of a sales slump. Means the world to me that Mike Gadosh has reported to me that there are quite a number of you listening who have begun purchasing once again or for the first time from Solid Ground Christian Books as a direct result of hearing the ads on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And even a couple of very large purchases were recently made from Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. So I can't explain to you in the English language how grateful and how thankful I am to you, and also how grateful and thankful to God I am for you. And this is the way you're going to help our sponsors continue to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Because obviously they can't continue to sponsor us if they can no longer afford it or if they no longer exist themselves. But thank you very much. In fact, you heard me air an ad earlier for CVBBS.com. Well, you can even order Solid Ground Christian Books titles from CVBBS.com because Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and CVBBS.com is only a distributor. They do not publish their own books. So, therefore, if you want to go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, make a long list of everything that you want to purchase that they publish, and then you can go to CVBBS.com and order those books. And as I said, please mention that you heard about CVBBS.com or Solid Ground Christian Books from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you really want to make that $50 minimum goal with CVBBS.com, why not order Solid Ground Christian Books titles to help you get to that goal or to exceed that goal and to win the free copy of the book by Dr. Joel Beakey that we mentioned to you earlier. It's a $15 retail value book titled Knowing and Growing in Assurance of Faith by Dr. Joel Beakey. Absolutely free of charge if you order a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise from CVBBS.com. And please include as many Solid Ground Christian Books titles in your selection as you possibly can. And before I return to our interview, I just have to let you know that coming up in just a couple of weeks, from January 17th through the 20th, the G3 conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia. On the 17th, it begins with a debate between Reformed Baptist apologist and theologian Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and a Muslim apologist. Then on the 18th of January through the 20th, the English-speaking conference begins, and that's on the theme, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. The speakers include Stephen Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Matheny, and Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, who's my guest this Friday, Martha Peace, Justin Peters, and Stephen Nichols. If you want to either register to attend the conference or to register for an exhibitor's booth, like the ones that I am going to be manning for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and my guest Joe Jackowitz is going to be manning for First Love Publications. If you want to register for your own booth, go to g3conference.com as well. And please mention Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I know you may grow wearisome over me begging you for money now every day, something I resisted doing for years. For years, I never made one single public appeal for a donation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But I finally caved in to the urging of my paying advertisers who wanted me to make these public appeals because they want me to remain on the air. They want to continue advertising in my program. And obviously, the only way they'll be able to do that is if I'm still around. So if you really love this program and you don't want us to disappear, we are really on the verge of going off the air, and that is not an exaggeration. If you love this program, go to Solid Ground, go to Solid Ground Christian Books, I was just about to say. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. Click on support. You will be given a mailing address where you can mail a check for any amount you can afford and made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please, as I always try to remember to remind you, never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church. If you're not already a member of a Bible-believing church or prayerfully seeking one out, you are living in disobedience to God. So I urge you, please, to find a good, solid, Bible-believing church and join it, and never siphon money out of your giving to that to give to Iron Sharpens Iron, and never take food off of your family's dinner table if you're struggling to make ends meet. Those are two commands of God. Supporting my program is not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability financially to support your church and your home as the Bible commands, then please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much and as often as you possibly can. I thank all of you who have responded to my urgent pleas for help and have been sending in very generous gifts. Some of you even 2 to 3 to 4 times a month. That blows me away. I love you for that, and I thank you for that, and I am grateful to you for that. And if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line, and as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with the theology we express on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we would be more than happy to launch an ad campaign with you, because we certainly need the advertising dollars. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Well, now we are finally back with Joe Jackowitz, who is founder of First Love Publications, and he is one of two pastors at Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California. We are discussing the sufficiency of Scripture, and one of the things I wanted to bring up to you right now, Joe, are some of the stereotypes that people have in regard to what sola scriptura means, or even the sufficiency of Scripture. There are Christians, some fundamentalists and other Bible-believing Christians who mock those of us, especially those of us who are theologically reformed or Calvinistic, because they will say that we are violating one of the very pillars of the Reformation that we claim as our own, sola scriptura, because we are known for having very large libraries in our homes. We are very well known for going to Bible conferences and breaking our backs carrying out the very heavy load of books written by great men of God throughout the ages. And because of the fact that very often the sermons that are preached by our pastors will not only obviously contain the Scriptures, which are the most important of all things to be featured in a sermon and that sermons should be based on, but these sermons are very often bolstered by quotes of great men of God. And this is not a violation of sola scriptura or the sufficiency of Scripture at all when rightly handled, is it?
No, it's not. Actually, I think they're well-meaning. I think their zeal has preceded them. They have perhaps more zeal than knowledge on this subject. And I think it's an overly simplistic approach to this topic of the sufficiency of Scripture. But let's back up a little bit and let's remember how God teaches us. God has raised up pastors and teachers in the church. He gives them a mind, an understanding to be able to not only know God and understand who God is, but he gives them a gift and a talent to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. He gives them the Holy Spirit, who provides insight and perception and understanding into the doctrines of God's word. He also gives these men a cognitive and analytical ability to coherently not only understand the doctrine, but to teach it in a way that is simple, but also understandable, organized, and it leads to edification and growth and maturity in the Christian faith. This is a gift that God plants within the hearts and minds of pastors and teachers. These men have many different personalities, but the one thing they have in common on this point is that they're gifted by God to present truth to the congregation in a way that it brings clarity, edification, and inspiration in maturing and growing the members of the church in their relationship with Christ. This is an amazing privilege and great mystery, how God uses fallible human beings like pastors and teachers in the church to deepen one's relationship with the living God in a supernatural way where they actually love God more, they serve God more diligently, they grow in the grace and knowledge of God. It's an amazing privilege to be a pastor and a teacher. Of course, to be any believer who is given any gift from God. But on this particular point, when pastors and teachers, the mode or the form of teaching is not as important as the gift itself that ultimately results in the edification of the church. And there are two primary methods of teaching. It is verbal teaching, where the pastor or the teacher stands up and teaches the word of God verbally, and the people hear it audibly. But another way is in writing. We're taught, we're given not only a cognitive ability by God, a gift by God to comprehend, to understand concepts and truth and things in an organized way so that we can remember them and make those things profitable in our lives. But also, the Lord gives us a gift to take those same truths, not only communicate them verbally, but also in writing. And the Apostle Paul himself learned through this way in Jerusalem when he sat under Gamaliel. He learned through reading. And as a Christian, he continued to study and to read. He valued books. Back then, they didn't print books the way they do today. But he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:13, bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So how do we learn? How do we learn? We learn through reading. We learn through studying. Of course, printing was not invented until the 15th century, but through reading and studying books. There are many, many great books that theologians in the faith, the history of Christianity, witnesses, great truths, books, although these books are not inspired by God like the original autographs, the original scriptures are, but these men who are given a gift of teaching and preaching and writing are gifted by God to organize the truth in such an edifying way as to cause the church to grow. So it's absurd to think that books written by people cannot have the same impact in terms of the edification of the church as auditory preaching.
Yes, and the fact that the scriptures require certain things for a man to possess in his life, in his godliness, and so on, in order to be qualified for the role of a teacher. The very fact that there is a mandate for us to have teachers and that they can't be just anybody. These are men that need to stand head and shoulders above the crowd in many ways. And the very fact that this exists in the God-breathed and errant scriptures, we would be foolish not to make use of great teachers from the past. They don't have to be living teachers. We would be foolish to totally ignore, because these men who say that I'm just using the Bible, I am not going to be using John Calvin or Martin Luther or Charles Spurgeon or all these men, I'm just using the Bible. Well, that's actually disingenuous, because they aren't just using the Bible, they're using themselves and the Bible. And there is a level of arrogance and haughtiness and sinful pride for a man to think that he doesn't need any assistance at all to more accurately follow the scriptures. Am I stepping over bounds here in saying that?
No, you're not. And it almost borders on being exclusivistic, where you are purporting to have a direct line with God. You don't need any earthly teachers. You don't need to read any books. You don't need any other vehicle or channel of inspiration or source of revelation other than this supposed direct line to God by way of direct revelation. And that's a direction, a very bad and dangerous direction one is going when they dismiss the value of earthly teachers, whether they be heard on CDs or tapes or on the internet or like your program or books or in church. And, you know, the Word of God comes in many different ways and many different forms, as long as we are accurately embracing the solid teaching of Scripture, biblical truth, tested by the Scripture, of course. God has used His Word. He has in many different vehicles, many different forms and methods to deliver to people, books and radio and television to save His people and to edify His people. Yeah, there are many people who are so proud, like the Pharisees. They don't need anyone or anything, just God. But God Himself has designed and ordained the church as a primary means of growth and maturity for believers. He has used and ordained and designed earthly teachers and preachers, as long as they stay on the narrow road of truth, for their edification as well. And we have so many enemies against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to take advantage. We need to be humble and meek and admit we're weak, and we need to take advantage of every means available to stay faithful to God. Reading the Scriptures, of course, and meditating on them is the primary means, and we need to make sure we don't substitute the Scriptures for something else. But we need to make sure we are faithfully attending worship services. There are other means for our edification, like prayer meetings, communion services, Bible studies, cell group meetings, the constant meditation of Scripture, individual prayer, walking with God. Even when we use every means available for our sanctification that God has given to us, the Bible says we are at best barely saved, scarcely saved. So I don't know how some of these teachers say they only need God and the Bible. I need every means I can possibly use legitimately to help me stay on the narrow path that leads to heaven.
You know, and also we have to be careful not to confuse people. We do believe, as Reformed Protestant Bible-believing Christians, in the perspicuity of Scripture. We do not believe that the Scriptures are so difficult from cover to cover, so difficult to understand in any way, that they require some elite clergy to rightly handle the Scriptures. I mean, we are to be Berean, and the Scriptures are plain enough that the things we need to know in order to inherit eternal life are easily understood. But in saying that, not everything in the Scripture is easy for us to understand. Am I adequately or accurately explaining the perspicuity of Scripture?
Yes, the idea of the perspicuity of the Scripture is that the Bible can be understood and correctly interpreted by anybody. Like you suggest, we don't need some priest or prelate or pastor to spoon-feed us every single word, every single syllable, and help us along, babysit us every single moment of the day in helping us to understand the Scripture. The Bible says that God's given us a mind, and He's also, as Christians, He's given us the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 John chapter 2 that you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have no need that anyone teach you, for the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Now, He's not suggesting that we don't need earthly teachers or disparaging pastors and teachers in their role as teachers, or else He would contradict Himself by saying in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 that pastors are apt to teach. That is, God gives them a gift to teach for the purpose of teaching the saints so that they can grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But whenever there is a lack of teachers, or even if there are competent, capable teachers in the church, we still have the individual responsibility as Christians to study for ourselves and to stretch our minds, imaginations, and mental faculties, our intellect, our memory, as far as we can stretch them in developing and cultivating our mental gifts and powers in studying the Word of God for ourselves. So we need both to study the Word of God individually, and God has given us a logical and coherent mind, most of us anyway, so that we can absorb the meaning of Scripture, but he's also given us the Holy Spirit to open up a very critical element of our Bible study that we cannot do ourselves. He illuminates our minds to understand the spiritual import and meaning of the Word of God. So we need to do our part in developing the mental faculties and also the spiritual gifts God has given us, and having the Scripture be as profitable and edifying to us in our individual Bible study. But at the same time, we need to ask that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the spiritual meaning of Scripture and to help us apply it to our lives. So the perspicuity of the Scripture is just that. God, through the mental gifts and mental faculties, as well as through the Holy Spirit, anybody, from as long as we can read or understand the taught word, can not only understand the Scripture, but we can understand how to apply it to our lives and grow by it.
Yes, hence what Jesus Christ declared in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That supernatural awakening that Christ's true sheep have by his grace, have received by his grace, we are following the voice of the shepherd through the preaching and teaching of the word today. Obviously, Jesus Christ is not walking physically among us, or he's not audibly communicating with us, but today we are hearing the voice of the shepherd through the preaching and teaching of the word. And even if we do not have the gifts or the requirements to be an official teacher in the church, we certainly have a responsibility, unless we are mentally impaired in some way, to be studying the Scriptures as the Bereans did, and therefore that's where the perspicuity really comes home to bear on what we're talking about. The Scriptures are not so above the comprehension of the average person that we are to just say, when we are hearing a preacher or teacher, "I'll take your word for it. I don't know what you're talking about, but you know, you're a lot smarter than me, so I'll just trust in what you're saying because you have credentials and all that." And unfortunately, that is the way throughout the centuries, and even today, you'll have many Roman Catholics, and I am a former Roman Catholic, who don't ever pick up their Bible because they know, well, the priest knows that stuff. I don't need to know that stuff. I can't even understand it. I'm not even going to waste my time, but as long as the priest knows what he's talking about, as long as I'm faithful to the church, I don't really need to know what the priest is talking about. That is unfortunately the attitude of many. And of course, that's not confined to Catholicism alone, but it's obviously extremely notorious in Catholicism, and even Roman Catholic apologists admit that.
Well, that's true, and Protestant and evangelical churches have their share to blame in that area when believers in some fundamentalist churches and evangelical independent churches will turn their minds over to their pastors and rely exclusively on their pastors to interpret the Bible for them without reading it for themselves. And because you have this authorian pastor syndrome, where in some churches the pastor is king, and what the pastor says is law, his interpretation of Scripture is the only interpretation, and it must be obeyed. And indeed, the pastor must preserve order in church and safeguard sound doctrine, but not to the point where his preferences and his opinions are law, and he himself is above the process of being checked and challenged and scrutinized in his teaching to make sure that the things he teaches are so. The pastor's duty as a teacher and counselor in helping believers understand the meaning and application of Scripture sometimes grows beyond biblical boundaries in some churches, and the pastor dominates and controls the lives of the congregation in a way beyond his scriptural authority. And so that's why Christians need to think for themselves. Yeah, they're to respect their pastors and submit to their elders and their pastors, as long as those pastors are accurate in their interpretation and application of the Word of God. And one thing that believers need to keep in mind is that the wisdom that is from above is both, in James 3 it says, is pure, gentle, willing to yield. So any pastor that stands up like a Hitler in the church, like a Diotrephes, and begins to demand that the members obey him and embrace his interpretation without question, not only is unscriptural doctrinally in demanding that, but his attitude, his demeanor, and his behavior is unscriptural as well. I had an experience recently. Last year we went to the Philippines, and I taught in a church and at a conference where the pastor pretty much operated the church that way, and every teaching that came forth had to conform to the pastor's interpretation, and believers there were very weak in their approach to Bible study and their understanding because they were afraid that if they got too knowledgeable and if they went deep in their study of the Bible, they perhaps would encounter teachings or beliefs that would go counter to their pastor's beliefs, and so they were kept deliberately dumbed down.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. If you want to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. In fact, let me take one question and have you, I'll read the question to you, and you can answer it when we come back. This will give you time to mull it over in your mind and look at your own catalog, because the Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, says, could you give me a list of books that you publish from First Love Publications that are the best titles to give to unbelievers? Very good question, and we'll have you answer that question when we return from our break. If you have, anybody else in the listening audience has a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing, we'll be right back after these messages with more of Pastor Joe Jackowitz and the sufficiency of Scripture.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe by God's grace that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org. That's providencebaptistchurchma.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available.
All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back, and I want to wish a very happy birthday to someone who is a dear friend of not only my guest, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, but has become a very favorite guest of mine on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I have the honor and privilege of having interviewed him for the very first time ever on this program, which absolutely amazed me, considering the fact that many in Reformed Baptist circles consider him a legend, and actually a quite a historic figure among us. I'm speaking of Pastor Bill Downing of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Silicon Valley in California. Today is his 77th birthday, so I want to extend to him my birthday wishes and the fact that I am praying that the Lord grants him many more years of faithful service and laboring in his kingdom for the spread of the gospel. And we just thank God for gifts to the church like Pastor Bill Downing. What a very rare, unique, and incredible man he is. Am I right, Pastor Joe?
Oh, don't get me started on that. Yes, indeed he is. He's not only a personal friend, but a mentor. He officiated at my ordination 30-some years ago. And First Love Publications, our publications ministry, he has contributed several volumes in our catalog, excellent books that really help to strengthen the church, not only on the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture, but in many other doctrines as well and topics. And he's written several new books that we've published and we're in the process of publishing. But I would take this opportunity myself, if he is listening, to wish him a happy birthday. I'm going to call him anyway a little later on today, but he is a dear man of God, and if we had 1,000 more like him across the United States, I think our country would be in a lot better shape.
Amen. And for those of you listening, if you live near Silicon Valley, California, or if you're planning to visit there, or if you have family, friends, loved ones, or acquaintances that live near there, the website for more information is sgbcsv.org. That's SG for Sovereign Grace, BC for Baptist Church, SV for SiliconValley.org. And I cannot more highly recommend the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Bill Downing, known by many as Mountain Man Bill, because until his health and age began to prohibit it, he was quite an avid hunter, a wild boar hunter. And I can't help but repeat a humorous story that a friend of mine, Dave Dykstra, many years ago told me. He said, I was having a conversation, because Dave Dykstra is an avid hunter. He said, I was having a conversation with Bill Downing. I said, what do you like to hunt? He says, I hunt wild boar. He goes, what do you use? Dave said, what do you use? And Pastor Bill said, I use a knife. And he said, well, I'm not talking about butchering it. How do you hunt with it? He said, a knife. I hide in a tree. When I see a boar roaming around beneath me, I leap out of the tree onto its back and stab it to death. Now, that is a mountain man. That is not an exaggerated nickname.
Yes. Well, he would rather be hunting, that's for sure. But his hunting days, he would tell you, are over.
Yes, he told me that.
It's over, and we need to pray for him. I encourage your listeners to pray for Pastor Downing, because we need many more years of ministry from him. Though he is 77 years old, he's still pastoring full-time a church. He has a writing ministry. And so I would be surprised if he works under 70 hours a week. Probably 70 hours is low. But bless his heart, he has such a gift of preaching and writing. And First Love Publications has a number of books we still want to get from him, from his writing ministry. And so we need to pray for his health, just in general, because we love him, but also to have the Lord continue to bless the church through his writing and preaching ministry.
Well, as you know, before the break, I read a question from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know what are the best books that you publish from First Love Publications that are best suited for giving to unbelievers. And of course, this is a great way to dovetail on the sufficiency of Scripture, because this proves, since you are leading a ministry that publishes books, extra-biblical, extra-canonical books written by great teachers of the faith, yet mortal men, not writing God-breathed instructions for us, but at the same time, who have written many wonderful and useful books throughout the centuries, you do not see that at all as an inconsistency with the Scripture, with the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture.
No, I don't. I think through missionaries, radio, television, and especially through the printed page, the Word of God is being spread throughout the world, even fulfilling two prophetic passages in Scripture, that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's taken from Habakkuk chapter 2, in specific reference to the world just prior to the second coming of Christ. And then, of course, in Matthew 24 and other passages, that the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, and then the end shall come. So it doesn't mean that there will be worldwide revival and billions saved, but it means that there will be this paradox of both things getting worse and worse in terms of moral decay throughout the world, while simultaneously the truth of God's word will be readily available and will be spreading through various formats and means. But I believe especially the printed page. That, and so First Love Publications seeks to do that. We have 51 titles on our website that you're welcome to look. In answering Susan's question, We have five categories of books. One of them is evangelistic. We have about three books and about 8 or 10 tracts that would be ideal to give to unsaved people, Susan. The first one I would recommend is a book, about a 100-page book, titled Questions Answered for the Seeking Soul, written by Robert Jones. And this book is excellent to not only give to an unsaved person because it's written in simple English, but also you can use it for one-on-one Bible studies or discipleship sessions with unsaved people, small group Bible studies with unsaved people, because each chapter is 1 or 2 pages in length answering a question that an unsaved person would ask. Questions such as, why was I born? What is my purpose in life? Just instinctive questions that unsaved people ask unconsciously. Just about every question along those lines that unsaved people ask are covered in a short chapter in this book, and you could sit down and cover one chapter at a time with an unsaved relative or friend. It's an excellent book. There are scripture references scattered throughout the book. So that's Questions Answered for the Seeking Soul. The next book would be written by Newman Hall. It's called Come to Jesus. Again, the format of the book is similar to the previous one, where the author takes one page and lays out a proposition in teaching the gospel. It's about a 50-page booklet called Come to Jesus, written by Newman Hall. And then some excellent tracts I would recommend. One of them is called 8 Lies You Hear on Campus and in the World. And in this booklet, it answers, I think, 8 fallacies or lies that unsaved people have about God or the Bible. For example, the first lie that is addressed is, in order to believe the Bible, one must commit intellectual suicide. And then the answer from Scripture is given. And so it's excellent for campuses, colleges, and universities, but also just to give the unsaved people in the world. 8 Lies You Will Hear. It deals with a lot of misconceptions unsaved people have, but it also gives them the gospel in the process. And then a track called Are You Born Again is an excellent one. 6 tests for the Christian and for the non-Christian as well. Are You Born Again, written by J.C. Ryle, who is one of my personal favorites. And then Are You Ready? An important question. The implication being, are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Again, written by J.C. Ryle. These are some excellent tracts that you can use in your evangelistic outreach. Also, one of our more prolific authors, Robert Jones, wrote a book for believers called The Soul Winner. Spurgeon wrote a book by the same title, but Robert Jones wrote this book and to encourage believers in their evangelistic endeavors. The last tract I'll mention is called What Crisis Are You Facing? Very short, 2-page tract, but addresses people going through crises. And the last time I looked, most unsaved people go through crises constantly, so it's an excellent tract. My pastor friend Tony Okoro in Lagos, Nigeria, says this is the best tract he has used in his ministry. What Crisis Are You Facing? Again, written by Robert Jones. First Love Publications will send you these materials. Just go to our website. They're free of charge. Go to firstlovepublications.org. One word, firstlovepublications.org. And you can order these tracts online. Click on it, put it into your cart, and we will send them to you postage paid.
Well, praise God for that. And once again, the website for First Love Publications is firstlovepublications.org, firstlovepublications.org. And it is quite a remarkable thing that you're doing. I mean, I have seen and own some of the books that you publish that you give away for free, and these are top quality bindings and covers. These are not cheap, ugly things. I mean, no matter how beautiful and true the contents of books are, very often if they are published or printed in a cheap fashion, and I recognize that there is certainly at times a need for that. It's far better that books, when they are good and biblically faithful, it's far better that they are distributed, even if printed cheaply, than not distributed or purchased or received at all. But you just go above and beyond the call of duty by having these books really published in the same quality as the finest and most renowned of publishers produce their own material. Can you explain that?
Yes, well, we believe that it's important to give a quality book to someone. It's not extravagant, and we don't spend a lot of money in buying the most expensive resources to print our books. As a matter of fact, we not only have a quality product, but we work hard at trying to find the cheapest resources we can to print them. All of our books are printed in India, southern India. A Christian printer there, the fourth largest printer in India, prints our books. So we're able to print our books and booklets and tracts at one-fifth to one-tenth the cost of most Christian or all Christian companies in the United States. The printer in India gets their paper from China, which is where most printers who overseas get their paper. It's the cheapest paper and the highest quality. And, of course, the labor in India is very cheap, so we're able to hold our costs down through the cheaper labor and the cheaper paper.
I guess a probably better phrase would be least expensive paper, because it's not cheap paper. It's not garbage.
Not cheap. Least expensive. Thank you. With my Jewish background, I should have said it that way. anyway, so, yeah, we find very inexpensive sources to print our materials, but we also try to bring very beautiful cover designs that are attractive. We know that only the Spirit of God can move someone to assimilate our materials, read them, and profit from them. But at the same time, we do our part in trying to have a cover design that's very relevant to the topic that's being taught in the book, as well as attractive to the eye. And so, we've never had someone tell us that our materials are bad or cheap in that sense.
Well, praise God for that. And why don't you, other than the ones that you listed for Susan, why don't you tell us about some other books that you have in print that might be of interest even to the seasoned Christian or the pastor among us?
Well, we have five categories of books. We have the evangelistic materials. We have about a total of 15 books and tracts that are evangelistic in nature that we send to believers and to churches in their efforts to reach out with the gospel. We have an apologetics category where we seek to defend the faith through books that are designed to address issues that come up in defending the faith against the cults and the false gospels. And we have books like Presuppositionalism, which teaches the presuppositional position of apologetics, or the discipline of defending the Christian faith against the world religions and cults. And Dr. Paul Nelson wrote that book. And then we have other books on apologetic topics. I'm on my website right now going through it. We've got books on doctrinal topics. Dr. Downing, whom you mentioned earlier, has written several of our books. The most popular book we distribute is titled Catechism on Bible Doctrine. It's a library in itself because it has every major doctrine of the Christian faith, not every doctrine exhaustively, but every major doctrine of the Christian faith explained and taught in a catechism format, which is a question and answer format. So as I click on the doctrinal section here, we see first of all that comes up is Dr. Downing's two-volume book set on Old Testament survey, which the format is very unique. And then we have a book titled The New Testament Missionary. If any of your listeners want to be a missionary or have been praying about getting involved in missions or want more information on Missions Life, that's the best book I've ever read on missions by Cliff Heller, the New Testament missionary. And then we have a booklet that's very popular called The Devil in the Church by E.M. Bounds. Most people know him as the author of the books on prayer, but Bounds wrote another book about heaven, and interestingly, in that book he has two chapters on how the devil works in local churches to cause disunity and bring about destruction, and it's very insightful. The particular focus is showing how entertainment, switching the preaching and teaching of the Word of God for entertainment, how it can destroy a church. And then we have a book on lectures on revival, a 350-page book by Dr. Downing again. And then we just printed the classic book called The Sovereignty of God by Arthur W. Pink. I know you're familiar with that one, Chris. And that's a classic going back almost 100 years. And we have a book on the relationship between the law and the gospel called Trinity and Triunity. We have other books in the doctrinal category. Dr. Downing just finished a book called How to Study the Bible, the best book I've ever seen on the hermeneutics or the principles of interpretation. He took every major conservative and reformed work on hermeneutics, and he gleaned the most important information for every one of those books. He rewrote it in his own words, and he added his own information and commentary, and he put it in one book called How to Study the Bible. It's about a 400-page book, and it's at the printer right now. So if your listeners want to get a hold of that book, they can check out our website in about a month, or get on our mailing list, and we'll send out an announcement once it is available. And again, that book is free of charge. And then we have a devotional category. It's probably our largest category of books. We have a book on addiction and the grace of God, helping people with five particular addictions, including sex addiction and drugs and three others. We have another book on a personal revival, a new book from Robert Jones, a study of Psalm 138 and Isaiah 12 on the topic of revival. And then we have a book, a classic written by Hudson Taylor, Union and Communion, Reflections on the Song of Solomon. That's a wonderful book in encouraging believers to go deeper in their heart relationship with Christ. A book on redeeming the time. And we've just printed as well E.M. Bounds' complete works on prayer in two volumes. And we added in the back of the book, I think pastors would really be interested in this, we've printed a separate book by Bounds on preaching and prayer. So everything that E.M. Bounds wrote on prayer and the ministry, prayer and serving God, prayer and the pastor, prayer and preaching, we put in one book, 140-page book, titled Prayerful and Powerful Pulpits. But we also printed his complete works on prayer. At the end of that book concerning his complete works, we put The Devil in the Church in that one too. And the last one I want to mention in the devotional category is the best book on sanctification I've ever read. I'm going through it right now for the third time. I'm on like page 300 and some. Holiness by J.C. Ryle. If you want to learn what sanctification and holiness is all about, you need to get this book, listeners. Holiness, its nature, its hindrances, its difficulties, and its roots. The most practical applications I've ever read in a book on holiness.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. Once again, the website for Christ Bible Church is ChristBibleChurch.org, ChristBibleChurch.org, and that is in Pleasanton, California. Yeah. And then also the First Love Publications website is FirstLovePublications.org, FirstLovePublications.org. Do you have any other contact information that you care to give?
I do. For any listeners who are interested in missions and would like to serve in short-term missions for a week or more, we have a missions organization called First Love Missions, but the website address is missionsfirstlove.org, missionfirstlove.org. Go on that website. You'll see our mission trips. If you want to serve or be a missionary worker, just fill out the form and we'll be in touch with you. Missionsfirstlove.org.
Thank you so much, Joe Jackowitz. I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Sorry to our listener, Chuck. We did not have time to answer your question on the Sabbath, but try to keep listening. And the next time we have a program on that subject, please submit a question. And the next time, please give us the city and state and country of your location, because you failed to do so when you wrote in today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who wrote questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Make sure you stay tuned tomorrow for Josh Bice. And the next Monday, we have the aforementioned Pastor Bill Downing on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. God bless you all.